So it's the last line on Tezayin Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan Ketzad Meragdim Bifnei Kalba, which literally translates, how do we dance in front of the Kalba? But Rashi explains, it's not, we're not talking about dancing, but Ma Omrim Lefanem. So what do we say? So some of the Mefarshim say, what do we say when we dance? That's how we should combine the dancing with the singing of her praises, which I'm not sure exactly why those two go together. But why does the Braisa say Merakdim if we're talking about Omrim? In other words, if we would have rewritten the text of the Braisa in a more logical way, I think we would have said Ketzad Mishabkin Esakala or Ketzad Makalsin Esakala. What's Ketzad Merakdim if Meakala? So here I want to point out to you that there's a very interesting finish here of the Ben Ish Chai in his agadic work, which is called the Ben Yehoyada. And this is really creative. He writes that, what does it mean, Merakdim?
Right.
We translate it.
Right. Who says that means dancing?
As dancing. Who says it means dancing? So what does it mean, says the Ben Yehoyada? He says that when you take flour and there's still a need to remove some of the psolus from the flour, that's called rekida in Lashon Kodesh. So he says, Harkodas hakemach haynu lahavdil apsolus sheba ulizarko v'likach hasolus hanikia. So it's a process of refining. So what, again, so we've made some practice, at least he's trying to explain Ketzad Meragdim, not as dancing, because we're not talking about dancing. So he says the following. He says that the way we have to fulfill kilus of praising the Kala is baharkada. What does it mean, baharkada? Lidadek lehalim hamumim ulahazkir dafkas Hashem. So it means that we're removing the psolus, which is called lahalim esamumim. So let's say, for example, she has blemishes, but we're going to remove those blemishes from our sheva. I thought that was very, very creative.
It's like Rashi says when the Malachim asks Avram, where is your wife? That was a way of endearing his wife. So
that she's a tznuah.
Doing things, saying things that are going to create even a greater sense of love between.
Right, and not to mention a movement. This is not the appropriate time. You know?
No.
Although we're going to have to rack our brains on Beit Shammah in a minute, but
right.
There are going to be many different ways of learning Beit Shammah. Now, the Mefarshim asked another question here, which I thought was quite interesting. You know, we know Ketzad Meragdim Fe'akala in our sleep. But why is that kala?
Right.
The mitzvah is l'samech sachosim as a kala. So there's at least, you know, an equal mitzvah to be l'samech sachosim as much as the kala. So B'lin Eder will swing back to this in just a minute. But let's just turn now to Daf Yizayin Amud Aleph. And we have the following. Beit Shammai Omrim Kala Kimochehi. Literally, the Kala as she is. Which sounds like, okay, we'll see Rashi here in a minute. It sounds like what Beit Shammai is saying, if we take it literally, is that, you know, describe the Kala as she is. How far are you willing to go with that, Beit Shammai?
The question is why you need to be doing that at all. In other words, where does that play a role in either wedding?
What's going to be the sameach the chosid kala by describing her as she is?
It seems like it fits.
So that's the pella here of Beit Shammai. Okay. Now, if we take a look for a moment at Rashi here on the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. What do we have? Rashi says, "Lefi yofya v'chashivusa mekalsinosa." It sounds like, you know, Rashi is unwilling to translate the words of Beit Shammai literally and take them at face value. We have to, as you said before, have some element of simcha of shvach. But it seems like Beit Shammai is really just curbing or limiting the Shvach.
Right.
And it's got to be Yofyo v'chashivusa.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's Mekalsin Osa. It's got to be a Kilus. And maybe what Beit Shammai is implying here is the positive but also the negative. The positive in the sense that we have to find her Yofi and her Chashivus, but the negative is it's got to be real. It's got to be true and accurate. It's got to be objective. You can't just make up a story here. And we'll soon see that Beit Shammai is going to attack Beis Hillel based on the Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tircha. So we have to avoid lying. And if we were to create some sort of story about a beautiful Mila that she has when she doesn't even have that Mila, that would be a problem of Sheker. So Beit Shammai is looking for the Rashi says, the Yofi that she has and the Chashivus that she has and nothing beyond that. That far we can go, but we can't go beyond that. And Beis Hillel Omrim Kala Nova Chasuda. We're more familiar with Beis Hillel. So what is Kala Nova Chasuda? So Rashi says that chasuda, that, you know, Noah seems to be, you know, reflecting her charm, her beauty. Chasuda is a little bit more of a complicated word, because if it's referring to chesed, you know, that's a little bit strange. You know, he's talking about her beauty, and now he's talking about her chesed. Do we, you know, is it public knowledge that, you know, that we're going to sing about her chesed? I don't know. So Rashi throws in a very complex phrase over here.
Right.
And he says that chud shel chesed moshech olem. And if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, Rashi is borrowing a phrase from Chazal regarding Esther Amalka.
You know, you find this also in the Rambam learning Torah at night. It says a chud shel chesed.
Right, correct. Kumi roni balayla. Well, what happens with Esther? So there's one opinion in the Chazal that Esther was Yerokros, which means
right.
She was not very attractive.
Right.
So the question is, why did Achashverosh found her attractive? So the Gemara says, Chud shel chesed moshech olem. So if I'm not mistaken, Rashi might be borrowing that term. And I don't know if the word chesed here is accurately translated as benevolent or good or kind, you know, careful about giving to others. I don't think so. I have a feeling that chud shel chesed has something to do with the pnimius,
right,
you know, more with the
an inner beauty,
maybe a charm.
Right. Especially what does that mean in the Rambam as well when he says learning Torah at night. That there's a chud shel chesed that adorns the person during the day.
That's beyond my comprehension. You know, when we get to Hilchos Talmud Torah, we'll have to try to rack our brains on the Rambam.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's saying something.
Where's the end of Parag Gimel, no?
Yeah, he's saying something along the same lines, that the influence of that learning somehow brings this inner charm, peace, whatever word. You
know, that expresses itself or radiates during the day.
That the person radiates with that, yeah. In other words, it's not about the beauty, the facial beauty or the physical beauty.
Right.
You sense something.
So what I'd like to do now, I want to accomplish two goals. One is, let's read, even without translating, the next couple of lines in the Gemara. And then I want to go through some of the sources here in the, this is called the Yalkut HaBiurim. So first we get the objection of Beit Shammai to Beis Hillel. Harei shahoysa chigeres osuma. Chigeres in Yiddish is called a hinkadinka. You know, she's lame. Suma, she's blind. Is omrim la kala nova chasuda. You're talking about her beauty? How could you say such a thing? Vatora omra. Midvar sheker tircha. You know, you get the impression that Beit Shammai going according to strict din, the law, that's what it says. It says in the Torah, midvar sheker tircha. If I'm not mistaken, one of the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States who goes down in history, his name is Justice Black. And he believed that the Fifth Amendment, which is freedom of speech, knows no limitations whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, according to Black, if a person gets up in a fire, excuse me, in a crowded movie theater, yells fire, people die from trampling each other, we can't deny him freedom of... And what Justice Black was famous for is that he took everything literally, and the law is the law, and there are no exceptions to the rule. So Lahavdil, I mean, I'm reminded when I learned this Beit Shammai of this shita in constitutional law, that we read the Constitution, and as I state, that's what we have to dot, you know, we have to live up to every dotted I and every cross T.
As opposed to Anochi Esav Bechorecha.
Right, Anochi Esav Bechorecha, according to Beit Shammai, would have to be rewritten in some way. Omolem Beisil Beit Shammai. Now, you get the impression that Beisil might be defending themselves against Beit Shammai at this point. And with Divreichem, you know, is there some sort of inconsistency in your approach? Mishalokach mekach ra min ashuk. A person made a purchase. Now we'll come back to the word that phrase minashuk in just a minute. And now you're going to tell him what a stupid mistake he made. What'd you pay for this thing? You know, it's full of deficiencies and blemishes. Is yishapenu b'yenov? Or yigadinenu b'yenov? Now, from the equation between this case and Beit Shammai's original statement about Ketzem Raktif Ne'akala, you get the impression that maybe Beit Shammai was advocating Yiganenenu B'enov. As we said before, we don't know what Kala Kamoshe means. Rashi goes out of his way to say, and Rabosa, you missed this point before, that Rashi goes out of his way on the top of Daf Yuzayinamanav to point out that when Beit Shammai says Kalat Kamos Shehi, it doesn't mean that we start degrading the Kala because she's lame or she's blind or whatever, but rather Lufi Yofya V'Chashivusa Mekalsinosa. This is going to be cues. But I'm just pointing out that some of the Farshim who think that Rashi went too far over here in Beit Shammai point out that Beis Hill's argument to Beit Shammai is that according to you, Beit Shammai, if somebody purchased an object, you're going to have to tell them you got an enobienov. You don't have to be so dedicated to truth that if you know that there's some blemish or deficiency in the object, you have to tell them so. That's not the way Rashi is going to learn Beit Shammai. Heavy Omer. And it seems that Beisil was asking a rhetorical question, meaning it would be ridiculous and untenable to say you got an enobienov, but rather Yishabchena B'enov. And somehow, by equation, by analogy, we should apply the same thing to the Kala, that we have to be Mishabchena B'enov. Now, the plot grows thicker because Beis Hillel goes on to build castles upon this, and he says that Mikan Omru Chachomim. So again, I'm not 100% sure if this is Beis Hillel's talk. It might be the Gemara itself, but be that as it may, from Beis Hillel, in Ketzem Raktif Ne'akala, or maybe more accurately, from Beis Hillel, in Halokeach Mekach Min Ashuk Yishabchenu B'enov, even though it's a Mekach Ra, is Mikana Omru Chachomim Li'olam Teheidaito Shal Odom Me'oreves Im Habrios. And that's a very complex statement. You know, the syntax here is very difficult. What's this daito shel adam? You know, das is referring to the intellect. Why is he emphasizing the intellect? And then ma'oreves, imabrios, very difficult. So if you take a look at Rashi says that mikan amru is a reference to Beis Hillel's statement of yishabchenu b'enam. So it's not going back on the Kala case, but on the Mekach case. Fine. Then what does it mean to a daito shel adam urevis amrius? Rashi says, lasos le'ish ve'ish kirtzono. Sounds like, what is that, just by sheer association, what does that remind you of? Lasos ke'ish ve'ish kirtzono. Megillas Esther,
yeah.
You remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when Achashverosh invites the people to his great banquet, you know, he says,
everyone has their
way. So Rabbi Osai, here's what I'd love to do tonight. I don't know if this won't take the whole shiur, but at least the first part of the shiur, is I photocopied this page again. Some people like Torah Shabbat there, they don't like to see the text and so on. But I always offer it if I can. And it's up to you if you want to look inside. This is the Yalkut Biurim.
The version of, it sounds like what Beis Hillel and the Chachamim are, it sounds like there's a distinction here, because you're not being asked a question of true or false, where you have the issue of Sheker. But here you're talking about after the item is already bought, or after the wife has already been taken, in terms of your reaction to that. In other words, how you speak about it. And that, in other words,
so
it's
saying that maybe it's not
In other words, I'm trying to say we're no longer in the realm of emes and sheker.
Oh.
In other words, that's because the example that's brought, the mashal that's brought, is something is bought in the shuk. And is it appropriate for you now to say you got a bad deal? That's just, you're just commenting now at this point.
This is more suggesting that a seller can over.
Exactly. That's what I want to say.
Can mislead.
We're not talking about selling. Right? We're not talking about a checker. We're not talking about in a business deal. I'm presenting something to another person. Can I be? But now it's after the facts already, and now it's more about, and this word that's used, Me'ura v'Mabrios, now we're just talking about Menschlichkeit and decency and how you get along with people. And in that area, there's flexibility, because we're not in the area of emes and sheker any longer. In other words, we're not.
The only thing, Aaron, I'm afraid to go as far as you're willing to go, because I do think that the issue is very much related to sheker and emes.
Yeah.
Because
it is, because that's what the Gemara raises. That
right, time. That I mean, they. If you take a look at Beis Hillel,
what's Beis Hillel's?
I mean, say Beit Shammai.
Right.
What was Beit Shammai's basic, you know, objection to Beis Hillel?
Bar Sheker Tircha. Right, but what's the answer? In other words, what's Beis Hillel's defense? What's his answer
right.
to Beis?
So you want to suggest something? I mean, that's what this whole page is all about. But I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm not articulating that well, but we're no longer in the realm of MS and Sheker. We're in other words,
is that because the purchase was already made?
It's already made. Now you're just
so in other words, you're interpreting Sheker as misleading a person to buy something.
That's right, where you're misleading,
right.
There are facts that need to be.
This we'll see is the Shita of the Rav Elezer Mimetz, that's the Sefer Yireyim, that the Iser Midvar Sheker Tirchok only applies if when you lie, somebody's going to lose money from it.
Yes, right. Okay.
So that shita, which is a unique shita of the Arayim, might explain Beis Hillel here, but I'm afraid to do so, because I don't want to box Beis Hillel down to this very narrow definition of Sheker, and assume that Beis Hillel are standing on the shoulders of the Svara of the Sefer Arayim, which is a very unique revolution. We'll hopefully see inside how the Iranian came to that conclusion. Now, the first thing that we want to do here is to, because the page I gave you is going to build a lot on this, is to take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maschil Kala Kamot Shehi. Because a large chunk of our study here is, what is Beit Shammai Shita? And then we can talk about Beis Hillel and what are they arguing about. Tosfos says, Kala Kamot Shehi, Im Yesh Ba Mum Yishtaku, V'lo Yishabchua. So if we stop here in Tosfos, before he backtracks a little bit, we would say that Beit Shammai might be advocating silence.
Right, as opposed to Rashi.
In other words, you know, you have two choices here, because the third choice, Beis Hillel's choice, doesn't exist. Beit Shammai say, I can't accept saying things about the Kala that aren't accurate. You know, she's a chigeres, she's a suma, you can't tell me Kala, no. At this point, again, we're only tipping the tip of the iceberg, but that's... Shtike kodo. Yeah,
shtike kodo. That works against you.
Now, if Beit Shammai has completely excluded this possibility of Kala Nova Hasuda, so what do we do? And at this point, Tosfos is going to offer a third possibility, because the first possibility is out according to Beit Shammai. There's no Kala Noah in this case. She's not Noah. The next possibility, says Tosfos, is just say nothing. Why? Why say nothing? Because Yesh Ba Mum. Yesh Ba Mum, at this point in Tosfos, means, again, pardon the very harsh language I'm going to use now, but she has no redeeming features. Kaviyachal. Again, at this point in Tosfos, before he backslides a little bit. So what do you do in a case where, on the one hand, Beit Shammai maintain that there's no room for Sheker, so you can't invent Milus and Shvach that doesn't reflect the accurate nature of the Kal. On the other hand, there's nothing to talk about. She is a Balas Mum. That's the fact of life. So at this point, Tosfos says, you know what Beit Shammai would advocate? Just say nothing. Which, by the way, there's a certain attractive logic to that, because rather than put your foot in your mouth and start lying about the Kala and making her into Miss Universe when she's anything but, in, you know, again, she's wonderful and everything else, but she's not Miss Universe, say nothing. Who forces you to say anything? Maybe in this case, there's no possibility of being Meshabecha because Midvar Sheker Tirchot, so drop it. Say nothing at all. I'm reminded of a story I think I told you once, that my father, the Shalom, who used to very often officiate at funerals and give eulogies for the Nifta that he never knew, and the only thing he knew about it was from a conference with the family,
right,
you know, for whatever, 15 minutes before the actual Hesped. But, you know, a good experienced rabbi will know how to weave an entire hesped around a few words that he hears of shvach about the person. In this case, he was in a very embarrassing situation. The family sat there and couldn't say a thing. He mamish couldn't extract a word out. So he decided, later he regretted it, even good rabbis, experienced rabbis make mistakes, he decided he's going to use one of these classical kind of espedim, you know, about the Eishes Chayil Miyimtzah, the Jewish mother, you know, and say about Sarah that she was the typical Jewish mother. And you know what happened? People started nudging each other and actually started smiling. Who's he talking about? He must have showed up at the wrong funeral because she was anything but. So Beit Shammai say, you know, it's nice to exaggerate, but maybe we should avoid it, because you never know how far it's going. Then to say nothing. The best option is shtika. Inami. Now at this point, it seems that Tosfos is not happy. How can Beit Shammai say we say nothing? After all, there is a mitzvah to be mesameach the chosim kala.
Plus, you can.
So here, I think that maybe Tosfos is rereading Rashi. He's giving, like, give Rashi a chance to say what he has to say. And he says, Yishabchenu
b'dover na
sheyeshba. Find something
right.
Good to speak about.
Right.
And that's perhaps what Rashi means when he says, L'fi yofya v'chashivus o mekal sinaskal. We have to be mekalis the kal, but don't invent stories. You may have to look very hard and dig deep below the surface, but come up with something that you can be mshabeh. Now, I would have said that there's got to be some, you know, if you're looking for something, it's got to be significant or meaningful, you know. Maybe she's a brilliant, in her discipline, whatever she studied in college, or she has, she has skills or something. Perhaps she's very kind, she's perceptive. Yeah, I would have looked for something. The Tosfos seems to be limited to physical qualities, because Na, which is Beit Shammai's road, she's beautiful. So Beit Shammai is unwilling to say she's beautiful because she's not. Oh, but she has beauty. What beauty does she have? You can't say she's a beautiful woman. But what you could do is, you could say that she has beautiful eyes. Okay, you know what? Maybe I can survive this. I don't really hear it too well. You know, we're dancing in front of the Kala about her beautiful eyes. But okay, maybe she has blue eyes. I don't know if anybody here enjoys blue eyes. But, you know, when I was growing up, blue eyes was like a chshivus, you know.
Isn't the point that we're trying to build up for the chosn, so the chosn appreciate her, rather than just...
Okay, so that's going to be a big deal to Neil in the Mefarsh. But keep in mind that according to most Mefarshim, I would say 99.9, what you said, Daniel, is absolutely correct according to Beis Hillel, but absolutely unacceptable according to Beit Shammai. This whole concept of beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, what I call subjective beauty, that the chassan thinks she's beautiful, that's going to be used by all of Mefarshim to defend Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. But Beis Shammai is unwilling to take that position. So Tosa says, Obiyodeh, Imen Yofos. Of course, it can't be Sheker. Again, I can't even begin to imagine this. Maybe it's from a different society. You know, it's nice if a woman has beautiful hands, I guess. I don't know. I'm not into that whole thing. But could you imagine dancing in front of the Kala about her beautiful hands? Like, that's all you can say about the Kala? Well, to me, it's an insult.
Doesn't the Gemara pass you not to look at a woman's hands?
The whole kasha that you could ask is the whole, you know, how do you know she's beautiful? You know. And then he says, "Ubeisil omi yushabchena legamrei." Go all the way with the shvach. You know, if all you can say about it is that she has beautiful eyes, or worse than that, she has beautiful hands, what does that say about, you know, the balance, if you know what I mean? Okay, now we're not finished with Tosfos, because the next Tosfos is also relevant to us, but at this point, what I'd like to do is to offer a couple of other approaches to Beit Shammai. So far, we have three approaches to Beit Shammai. One approach to Beit Shammai is Rashi's approach, Lufi Yofi of the Chashivusa. So we really need to find some sort of Yofi, some sort of Chashivus, but I think according to Rashi, it's got to be substantial. It's got to be something significant and meaningful. Then we have Tosfos' first approach to Beit Shammai, say nothing. And the last approach is that Tosfos says, you know what, even if you have to look at the what seems on the surface to be very insignificant, but that's enough for the Kiyum Shvach. Now, if you look at this page, on the top part of this page, he quotes the Tosfos, and then in brackets, he quotes the Shita of Beit Shammai. The counter argument of Beis Hillel, that this is not Shvach at all. You know, if all you could say about her is she has nice hands. But now he has a few other interpretations of Beit Shammai. I counted three other interpretations. Let's see if I'm right. We have two or three already now. Now he quotes the Shita Mekubetzes. This is the most harsh, extreme understanding of Beit Shammai. And he says, Yesh Mefarshin Kipshuto Kala Shemoshi, simply describe the Kala. Imi na, omer na, she's beautiful. Mention that for sure. But imi kiora oma kiora. And here, Avraham, we come back to your kasha. Right. What kind of kium is it?
Right.
What do you gain by calling a kiora? Why is that better than saying nothing?
Right.
Is there a mitzvah to describe the kal in a negative way? What mitzvah? I'd like to know, right, amongst the 613, which mitzvah is it to speak about a kallah at a wedding that she's kiora? I just, yeah, you know, at this point, I throw in the towel. I was hoping, yeah, that there would be a little footnote,
yeah,
to explain the Shita Mekubetzes in Beit Shammai, and guess what? There is no footnote. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Nobody could figure this out.
Right. I think it's a mistake.
Misprint.
Yeah. Rabbi, where are we exactly?
If you got this handout,
yeah,
unless it didn't come out too well, I don't know. It's the
first column?
Yeah, the first of the first, and we did already the first three, four lines, and then we did Ubishita Mugubetz. So you have that? Okay, so we're up to Marimi Gash. Okay. Now, the Rimi Gash himself does some loopholes in the air until he finally settles on the following pshat. He says, "Lebei Shammai, ein maskirin umefartim klal eshvach hakal." You know what? Let's get a standardized formula for every single kala, and better to avoid looking for shvach, because as soon as you start looking for shvach and you're going to allow a praise, it's going to get out of hand. It's going to become totally exaggerated, and we're going to violate Tvar Sheker. So in effect, what the Rimi Gash is sort of saying here is, A, I have to assume that when Ben Shammai answers the question, Ketzim Aragdin, with the words Kala Kamoshi, he means Kala Kamoshi. Those are the three words. And again, how it's going to fit into our Niggin, I don't know. Let's think. I think we could do a job. We'll probably. But the point of the Rimi Gash is that Beit Shammai is not only starting with Midvar Sheker Tirchak, but he's adding a Gzera. And he's saying that even if I would allow you, says Beit Shammai, to go into specific details about this Kala and find and discover and sing her praises, at the end of the day, you're going to violate Sheker.
Because you're going to say something like that.
Why? Because he says, Shema Yavali De Sheker. The word Shema is a classical Gzeras Chachom. Mm-hmm. So this is mind-boggling, because Beit Shammai is not only worried about the Doraisa of Midvar Sheker Tirchok, even in a case where there is no Dvar Sheker Tirchok, he's afraid that if I allow you to do that and speak her praises, you'll eventually violate Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Now, where do we find a precedent for the Chazal to make a gzera of Midvar Sheker Tirchok? Does a person have to go around in his lifetime with such meticulous care, weighing every single word to make sure that he doesn't even come near Sheker? What's the basis for that? Anybody? Don't all answer at once. Read the pasuk again. What does the pasuk say? Midvar sheker tirchak. It doesn't say lo tishakru. The pasuk itself tells you to make arachakra. And I'm going to go very far here. I'm going to say that according to Beit Shammai, this is not exerit rabbanon. This is a Gzeirah Doraisa, and maybe even a Kiyum HaMitzvah. So again, I come back to my question. Do I have to be neurotic? And every word that I speak, I don't know how many words come out of a mouth of a person who lives to the age of 80 or 90, I don't know. It's probably in the millions, I don't know, unless he's very quiet. There are people that hardly say a word, but if you're talking to them like me, it's probably in the millions of billions, no? But every single word has to be calculated, because I might lead to Sheker. I think Beit Shammai's answer is yes. Yeah. Again, you know, you have to ask a psychiatrist, what are the long-term psychological, you know, repercussions of going around with that kind of... But this was the Musa Shita of some of the Bali Musa, that you have to be totally disciplined in everything you do in life, but how much more so in case of Sheker, because the Torah says, Tiru. And I know, Daniel, you're worried about Yaakov Avinu saying Anochi Esav B'Choreich. Okay, we have to deal with that. That's a separate issue. So that's the Rimi Gash. And he adds another little bit of a knetch here, an embellishment to what is Kala Kamot Shehi. I mean, that's a little bit strange. But Kala as she is. And I would have thought, maybe, like Daniel said before, the Kala she is in the eyes of the Chassam, but he has another twist on it. Kala zu kemosha asah HaKadosh Baruch. You know, this reminds me of the Gemara Brachos that says, if you see someone who's a midget or other kinds of aberration, you say, Baruch Mishanes Abris. This is the way God wanted to create man, and we praise God for that too. It's almost like Yishem Shavarach Mal Tov Kach Mal Ra. Mashma, Dvar L'Shvach, imi mishubeches ugnayim hi maguna. In other words, I'm going to tell you that she's a kala kamot shehi, as God created her. You calculate, did God create her with some positive milas, l'shvach, or the opposite? That's up to you. So now, Rabosa, let's summarize. We have basically three approaches to Beit Shammai. One approach to Beit Shammai is find something to praise her. The other approach to Beit Shammai is say nothing. And the third approach is the Rimigash, kala kamot shehi. That's going to be the uniform standard, Ketz Amarai.
What's that? The Gemara in Tainus or the
Ishmacha?
For the what? For the Gemara, he says how disgusting you look.
The Ishmacha.
And he says, you go to God and tell Him how disgusting He created
His kli, the kli that He formed. Right.
And he said he asked for forgiveness, and he said, "I won't forgive you." The Gemara ends without him forgiving.
Right. There's a famous story about Rabbi Sol Salanta that he passed a dead horse in the street or something, and he starts looking at the teeth, how beautiful the teeth is. You know, he an avela, a carcass, but he had to find something beautiful.
This Gemara is the opposite, where he.
I just looked at Gemara yesterday.
Good. Yeah. That was a very difficult Gemara.
Right, so let's go on. Now we have the flaw. The Hafla wants to interpret Beit Shammai based on a Gemara in Yevamos. Amar Rava, Bo re'e kama tova isha tova shator nimshala ba v'chei matzinu shekneses Yisrael nimshala kala k'mo shenemar iti milavonon kala posken chir shirim v'chein matzinu sheshabes nikreis kala bo v'neitzit l'kras kala. So from all these sources, we see that the word kala, or the bride, becomes the catchphrase or the paradigm of everything that represents a kind of spiritual beauty, whether it's Knesset Yisrael is called a kala, Shabbos is called a kala. What does this have to do with us? Says the Hafla, Al Kain, Zeu Shemarakdin Lefanel, Kama chashuva kala kimos shehi, dahainu shedvarim gedolim nimsholim ba kimos shehi. In other words, kala kimos shehi means she's a kala. And everything that we find beautiful in the universe is a kala. We describe it as a kala. So when we describe the kala, we're speaking about kimos shehi, that everything great is to be compared to a kala. All this is according to Beis Shammai. What about Beis Hillel? So Beis Hillel say kala no v'chasud. Rashi says chut shel chesed mashach alev. Fine. Now he says the following: l'chol akalos omrim kein kala no v'chasuda. Why? Shehi balas chen v'chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. Now at this point, we're bothered by the question of Midvar Sheker Tirchok. You're saying standard for every single kala that she is no v'chasuda. V'afilu isha ki ora. So the answer is that no v'chasuda doesn't mean that she's the most beautiful woman, but rather it means chut shel chesed mashach aleha. Kamo l'gabei Esther, that according to one opinion she was kind of ugly. Okay, but nevertheless she had a chut shel chesed. What Achashverosh saw was something below the surface on a deeper level. Ulekach yesh l'shabeach b'dover zeh v'lo la'azkir es gnusa. Bifnei Akal, you know, it's to the same extent that Beit Shammai wants to be so careful about Sheker, but he still wants to be careful about not doing or saying something that could insult or disappoint the Chassan. And that's called Kala no v'chasuda. Ah, you'll ask me, but isn't this Sheker? The answer is, she is a no v'chasuda because she has this chut shel chesed. But men nechleku beit shamai u beis hil. Now, before we go on, I want to point out that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zichrono Livracha, has a question. He wants to know, why is Ketzer Meragdim Bifnei Hakala? Why not Ketzer Meragdim Bifnei Hachoson? He says, Hare Yesh Mitzvah L'Sameach Es Hachoson V'Es Hakala. Why do we drop the Choson? And B'li Neder, after we do a few more paragraphs, I want to come back to the answer of the Kovetz Shiur. So let's leave that in the back burners, but keep in mind that we want to understand why all the emphasis and the spotlight is on the Kal. HaTorah Amra, V'Mesech Tekal Rabosi, Mivur Bar Chofa Bamen Nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Sil. So this is Mesech Tekal, it's one of the Mesech Tanos, you know, the collection of Brisos. And there we get into an understanding of Beis Hillel. What does Beis Hillel say to Beit Shammai? After all, it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Beis Hillel Omer, Ki Omer Achmona Midvar Sheker Tirchok, Mishum V'Noki V'Tzadik Altarok. Holikiyume Shapir Domi. Sheker has to be defined by its destructive nature. Altaharok. If a person will perjure himself in a court of law, the guiltless will be condemned and punished as a criminal. That's sheker. But what happens if there's something called constructive sheker? He calls it lekiyume shapirdom. In other words, what we have to do is, we have to take the pasuk Mitzvah Sheker Tirchok, in its context, if somebody can do me a favor, or maybe here it's in the Friedman edition. Oh yeah, here it is. He has the whole pasuk. So if you have the Torah or HaSholem, if you have that, he says Mitzvah Sheker Tirchok, V'Noki V'Tzadik Altarok. So, in other words, according to the Masech Tekalah, what they still are doing is they are reading the pasuk in its context. You can't just pull out three words from a pasuk. Midvar Sheker Tirchok. A pasuk has to be interpreted contextually. I once saw, you know, that the chief rabbi of the old city is Rabbi Avigdor Nevenzahl. So I once saw in his sefer, he says that the mistake that people make when they read Tanakh is they often just interpreting words literally, and not, which is important, he says, but that's not sufficient. You have to see it also in context. So the Goy Tzadik Altarog is going to be the context, the framework within which Tzadik. So don't cause the death of someone who's guiltless. So what do I gain from this Masech Tekalah? I thought when I was reading Beis Hillel that Beis Hillel was going to tell me that the ends justify the means. That really, Enochinami, it is a violation of Sheker, but we're allowed to violate the Sheker for a greater goal. Like, for example, we have Mishana Mipnei HaSholom, or we have principles, to save someone from humiliation. You know, that's also called Mipnei HaSholom, or sometimes you're allowed a life because of humility. You know, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, they ask you if you know this Masechta, and you're very tzanu about it, so you say no, but really you do know the Masechta.
The Gemara in Sota that says that Hashem allows His name to be destroyed
for the sake of Shalom Bayis.
And today the biggest thing is self-esteem.
Right, right. So we can't insult somebody, and therefore we're allowed to lie, to falsify the truth, also for the sake of tznius, right? The Gemara says he asked him if he had relations with his wife last night. I mean, I would have smacked the guy in the head, but the Gemara says he's allowed to lie, you know, because he found him in the mikveh in those days. You know, Valkyrie had to go to the mikveh. And so forth and so on. Other cases where we allow you to violate the Issur Sheker. I think that the Masech Tekalah is saying, no, Fakert, you know what? Beis Hillel has a whole different definition of what Sheker is all about.
That's a That's what I was suggesting earlier. This is an area of Sheker. This is already, in other words,
right. So take a look, if you don't mind, Aaron, on the left side of the page, which would be a third column. You see where he quotes the Urayim? No, you have to turn the page around. I call it column 3.
It would be Urayim.
Kosav Shedafka Sheker Shegoreim Hezek Lechavero Asur Min HaTorah. Avalo sheker she'eno gore rol chaveru share hemshech apos midrash sheker tirchu v'noki v'tzadik al tarok. So it would seem that according to the Rambam, we have a very limited definition of sheker, and I don't know why he didn't combine this with the Masechta Kallah.
Right, it sounds like the same idea.
And we see the pasuk in its context. Fine, let's go back to Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. HaTorah Omer Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Omer Lehem LeBeis Hillel. Omer Lehem Beis Hillel Yishamchenu B'Einov, etc. So Beis Hillel defend themselves with this whole complicated situation about somebody who bought, he purchased merchandise, and what do you say to him? HaTam Shel LeBeis Hillel Ein Bazem Yishum Midvar Sheker Tirchak Bir HaRitva. So the rituals, you know, with this matir, that's what I call it. It's sheker, but it's permissible. Shekol shu mipnei darkei shalom, ein bo mishum midvar sheker tirchok. V'chein bira ben yonah v'shari tshuva, ulefi ze mashma, sha'af sheker gomur, mutar mipnei darkei shalom. Omnam b'chelkes mechoki kosav, shim yesh lo mum, Ein lomar she'ein lomum. That's already sheker gomur, explicit, outright sheker. But he should just say na v'chasuda, which means, as we saw earlier, in the name of the Rimigash, that chut shel chesed moshuch oleho. Ulech ora l'das haritva yesh ladun. This is a possibility. She muter ach b'sheker gomur. I think what he means is, if it's necessary for Shalom to falsify the truth, then even that's permissive. So you should know there's a Gemara at the end of Azov which says you're not allowed to tell a person that what I'm selling you is what it's not, you know. And the Mefarshim quote the Yaivitz of Yaakov Emden, that he says that even in Shidduchim, you know, let's say the girl is what she isn't.
Right. That's what Mashal is interesting, is after the market. In other words, what's the Mashal is after it's been bought already.
Right.
In other words, in the marketplace while business is going on,
this is not,
then you have a Sheker issue.
That's
so
not except
beyond that. Maybe that's why Davka, that's the Mashal.
So, in that sense, when the Chelkas Machokik says that you're not allowed to say Ein Bamum because that's called Sheker Gomur, I think he's telling us that not only in Shidduchim, where it's understandable intuitively why you're not allowed to lie, you can't falsify the truth when you're suggesting a shidduch, because the man is going to marry you based on your recommendation, amongst other things, right? And then he's going to find out the truth. He's going to discover that she does have a mum. That's going to be the most terrible, humiliating situation when he divorces her, because the Gemara says in Ksumas, later on, we didn't get to it yet, on Ayin Hey, that if he didn't know about a mum, and then after the marriage he discovers a mum, then he simply yotzeis below ksuba. So you don't want to falsify the truth and conceal the fact that she has a mum. But now the Chelkas Machokek, who's one of the super commentaries on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, he wants to go a step further, and he wants to say that it's, you're not allowed to falsify the truth even after the marriage was clinched. At this point, you know, there's nothing to lose. But he wants to suggest, I think, dechuya, not hutra, meaning, even though the Torah permits lying for darkei shalom, but not an explicit kind of lie. It's got to be where you sort of fluff it up a little bit. But to say Sheker Gomor and declare that she has no mum, that you can't do. But the Ritva says, Mishanin Mipnei Hashon. That's what he's quoting, the Ritva. And Aimbaz and Mishumi Dvar Sheker Tif. It sounds like the Ritva was willing to go a step further and say that within the context or for the objective of Daki Shom, you're even allowed to falsify the truth.
Ravadja said it was a psak of a woman that, for the pidyon haben, that she had a previous birth, an abortion. Was an abortion, but a pre. And he paskin that she didn't want to tell her husband about it. And he paskin that they were allowed to have the pidyon haben and recite the bracha.
In order to what? To guarantee shalom bayis?
I just heard a quote. I read it in Ravyan. I just in a couple of places.
Isn't the husband going to eventually? I mean, the assumption is that somehow she can keep this as a lifelong secret or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the mitzvahs. You know, and there's certain things that eventually.
Okay. Yeah, but it's interesting case as well. In other words, it's in this realm. In other words,
right. Mishanim neshalom.
It's mishanim, and that you're allowed to say Shem Hashem,
right. And
have a whole pidyon of Ben.
Right.
And he has a sinyabia omer, he has this psak.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. Shka, thanks for that.
That's pretty far, right? That's
yeah,
far reaching.
That's pretty far out. Omnam das hataz, shatam she'en kan midvar sheker tircha. Not because he is lying for the sake of shalom bayis, but mishum. The BMS Kosfer Rishonim Sha'afl Beisila Masha Omrim Kalinova Chasuda Hainu Shechut Shal Chesed Moshe Cholev the Einkan Sheker. And here Daniel comes Yosvara Sharehi Motza Chain B'Einei HaChosen Shalom. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So as far as the Chosen is concerned, he found it to be a Chut Shal Chesed Moshe Cholev Sharehi Oso Lisa Isha Chirena. So now we have to go back to Beit Shammai. If that be the case, what's wrong with this new definition of subjective truth? And the answer is that Beit Shammai says, no, truth has to be objective. Yesh kan dvarim anirim kesheker, towards the spectator, sheha olam, everybody outside, choshev she noses chen b'enu kol roeha, that you're saying objectively that she's beautiful, v'zeh sheker. V'atora omra mitvar sheker tircha. So David dvarma nirim l'sheker b'enu abrios. So what defines sheker, says Beit Shammai? It's the perspective of the community. That's the criterion for sheker.
According to
Basil, what's the criterion for sheker? Is this sheker vis-a-vis the person who's going to lose by the sheker? And therefore, heishivu Basil Beit Shammai. What do they respond? Kfar noda minaga olam. Interesting. You know, this is what we call pukhazi lebra, meaning how can you say such a thing, Beit Shammai, when everybody. Klal Yisrael is noeg l'shabech misha kona mekach ra min ashuk k'dei shlo l'tzaro afkan b'vada yavidu kol ha'olam shema sha'omer kal enova chasuda hi hainu b'yein ha'chosin shalom. You're worried, Beit Shammai, about the fact that in the eyes of the public this is sheker. The answer is no. The public is already used to this kind of thing. This is the way society works. We have a definite custom and a minog to praise someone once he's already purchased something and not to be mitzar the person. And here he quotes the Marsha, Shebeisil Savri, Kevon, Shakala Hazu, Nosa Chein B'Eni Bala. Once again, the concept of subjective beauty. Yesh L'Shabcha V'Lomer Kala Nova Chasuda Hainu, She Nova Chasuda B'Eni Achosan. But Beit Shammai say b'dvarim elu sheyesh mashmah she be'etzem. Be'etzem means objectively. No avachasud v'zeh sheker. So on that, Beisil say that Kmosha Akona Mekach Ramin Ashug Yeshisham Chubedim Hainu She'ein Zeh Sheker. Ooh, not that we're being matered in order to avoid bringing anguish upon a person, but rather that's not called Sheker. And why isn't it Sheker to tell him that he bought this beautiful car, how wonderful it is, you know, it's the newest model on the street, and it's got this, you know, this, what's it called, this feature, that feature. No, he knows it's a bad deal. But why do you do it? Because b'ein alokech u'mekach tov. And that subjective perspective makes it into emes and not Sheker. Kach gam b'kala yesh l'shabcha once again, we can say these words because they are emes, because even though in the eyes of the public eye she is not so beautiful, but in his eyes she's beautiful, and that's why he married. So again, we see sort of two different approaches here as to the Nekuda Samachlok Shrim Beis Silvei Shammai. One approach is that Beis Hillel is in agreement with Beis Shammai that there is a problem of Sheker here, but we're going to allow Sheker and permit it for the greater good. And here's where the Chelkas Machlokes says, don't go too far with this, with an explicit Sheker. That's not necessary. That's one way of learning the Machlokes. The other way of learning the Machlokes is to say that Beis Hillel are not permitting Sheker for a greater good, but rather they hold that Sheker is only if it's subjective Sheker, but if it's subjectively true in the eyes of the Chassan, she is beautiful, that's not called Sheker, that's called Emes. Which means that in the second approach to the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, we're really getting down to what I call the most profound fundamentals, the depth of the Torah. What constitutes Sheker? And Beis Shammai says, don't give me any hanky-panky here. Don't try to, you know, figure out some way of calling this emes. It's Sheker, and that's it. Everybody knows it's Sheker. Beis Hillel says, wait a minute. The person bought a Mekach. I'm talking to him. In his eyes, this is emes. And therefore, there's no issue whatsoever. Again, super commentaries on Eben Ezra, Kosmu, Shebekala Nova Chasuda, Enkan Sheker, why? Yesh Letaritz Dvorov, Shehina Bimaseha. The word na doesn't mean physical beauty, but in her ethical behavior, she is beautiful. She's a beautiful person. She'll do, go to the ends of the world. You know, we speak about no, at b'chutz and no at b'fnim. Yofat b'bayis, yofat b'sod. It means there's an outer beauty, which is physical beauty, and she'll win a contest because of her beauty. And then there's the inner beauty, and that's what we mean. If need be, we can reinterpret the word no b'maseha, and that fits in with chasuda, because chasuda is also more of a spiritual or ethical kind of description. Ulefi, Divrei, according to this approach, Masha Omer Mutul Shadus Me Hashem Ha'inu Kvosh Kosvar Chashul Yevomis Shezeu Dafka Mokum She'enu Sheker Gomur. The Efshel Afarish Betray Anpi. I honestly, this was a disappointment for me. He wants to say a lum to see it, that what they mean when they say that the word na could be interpreted as na b'maseha, that makes it into Mishtamea Betray Anpi. Meaning, for the sake of peace and harmony, we're allowed to say something that could be interpreted in two ways.
Right.
I'm reminded of the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he says that if you say something that could be interpreted in two ways, then if you say it in front of the person himself, then we know you meant it that way, and therefore it's mutter. If you say it while his back is turned to you, that's a problem of Lashon Hara.
You're saying it to him.
But here, where the sheker is not a full-fledged explicit sheker, he calls it eno sheker gomur, then he says, mishanim itnei ha-sholom, and that means, what does it mean that it's not a sheker gomur, that it can be interpreted in two ways? I didn't think that's what they were talking about here. Honestly, my humble opinion is they were saying that the word Noah in this case means Noah b'masa. And why not? What's so terrible about dropping the ball on her physical beauty and speaking about her inner ethical charm?
I asked the same question also. In other words, this issue of speaking about her physical beauty, why that's such an important...
Very straight.
Right, it's not an easy issue. That's not where the men aren't supposed to be looking at that. We're not supposed to be talking about that. That's not where our emphasis is as Jews.
I guess back in the day, they weren't embarrassed about talking about it. Today, we became so frum.
Right.
You know, who talks about the physical beauty of the cow?
And here it becomes like this.
But you'll soon see later that the poskim are going to ask when it says, Kate's arrived to Fnei Akala, what does that mean? Are you allowed to dance with the cow?
Right.
No, I mean, you'll laugh at it, but this was a serious halakha.
The rebbes do.
And it's only because it says b'fnei akala, not im akala, that they derive the conclusion that you're not allowed to take the cow's hand. And it's mind-boggling. The Gemara is going to tell us about Rav Levi.
Put on her shoulders.
Yeah, who carried her on the shoulders. That's right here on this Gemara. Rav Yishuv ben Levi, excuse me. And the Gemara says that they started being Marane. How could he do such a thing? So he said, she's like a Korah and all this. And the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Rav Yishuv ben Levi was doing great things. So after he died, and they buried him, you know, the flames went up, you know, whatever it is. Today, there are certain circles in which they completely obliterate this halach of Ketz and Ragnus and Akal.
Well, how do we do it?
They don't dance in front of the cow.
But how do we do it today anyways? Because we don't... This isn't about dancing. This is about speaking.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but the Mepharshim say that it's dancing and speaking. But in other words...
We don't do the speaking.
We do say Kalanova Hasud, at least at the weddings I go to.
Where?
Well, you go to weddings where they forget to say Brothers Aronson, but...
When do we do this at a wedding?
I don't know. I've never been at a wedding where they don't sing Kalanova.
Oh, you're saying
never in my life.
You mean the band playing it is a
well? No, you're supposed to actually sing it along with the band.
I don't know.
The band has a bit of a shliach.
Balkans says his rhyme about the canon.
This brother Alakha knows we don't do this today.
What case am I saying? Again, Aaron, I'm telling you, I have never in my life been in a wedding where they don't sing Kate Samarag and Fan Kala Kala no Kasu.
You're saying those words sung by the band?
I'll sing it for you. Kala no, Kala no, Vacha Sudo. You never heard that in a wedding?
Of course I've heard
in
a wedding, but that's, you're saying that's the fulfillment of that. In other words, if you're sitting in your chair while that's playing,
get your rumpus up there. No, I'm not joking.
I'm saying we don't do that.
I mean, you're going to have to, otherwise you have to dray that maybe it's a shlichus.
I'm saying if this is a lacha, there should be a line and we all do it, and at some point in the wedding, I'm saying
you're making a good point. Right. Yeah. What I think happens is at weddings, and I've decried this many times, is that they muscle you out. And what do I mean by this? The more they muscle you out. Why?
Right.
Because unless you have protective metal shoes that will cover your toes, you know, and protect them, you're a goner. I mean, they do wild things at weddings.
No, I'm saying you don't generally do this at a wedding. I'm not saying the band doesn't play.
People who are Yirei Shamayim and Yodei Sefer will make sure at least at that dance to dance in front of the kallah, and they should, and they should have in mind this.
But we're saying Meraktim, everyone's saying it doesn't mean dancing. In other words, Rashi and Tosfos both say it doesn't mean dancing.
When you say Rashi and Tosfos, I mean, I think what Rashi and Tosfos are saying, that what do we say while we dance in front of the kallah?
Yeah, but we don't say anything. In other words, there's craziness going on. There's no word. The cow's on the other side. She comes over.
Speak for yourself. I am very mocked when it comes to Kate Samarag. And I try my best to fulfill this Gemara.
And I'm saying we don't set up weddings in such a way that you can do it. That's what in other words, even if you
again,
want...
you're looking at a sociological deviation where, as I say, You can't dance at all in front of the chassan or the kala today without putting your life in danger.
So we don't
if you're above the age of 45.
But that's my question. We don't do this at weddings. That's my question.
So you and I have to create a project. What am I looking for? Some sort of protest.
That's the biggest issue in the Jewish world.
I'm just saying that this is what we should do.
Okay.
And I tell you the truth, the chassan could play a major role over here because he can let the word out amongst his chaverim, and he has 50 chaverim from the yeshiva that are all 21 years old, that make sure that you allow and invite the whole tzibur to dance with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a chassan should really do. But again, we live in a fakrumta world. I have been at a sheva brachas where the kala is not there when they recite the sheva brachas. That's absolutely against the halacha. So we're in a crazy world today, in many different directions. But ketzav aragdim b'fnei kala. I mean, this is an entire sugya, and dancing in front of the kala is to be mesameach the kala is very important. When they bring the kala out, and not every chassan they do, but if they do. Because they're not going to get so frum, you know, that Rabbi Shimon Levi was carrying the kala on his shoulders. Okay, fine. You don't want to go that far. But we can dance in front of the kala. So if they're not bringing the kala out, then you don't have a possibility of fulfilling Kesa Magnus. But if they do bring the kala out,
right. They
should do it in a way that's organized and people should try to get in. Now, they do this kind of shtick. So you feel... when I say you, I'm talking to myself. You feel embarrassed because you can't stand on your head and juggle with your feet.
But
you know, 16 balls in the air. So why should I bother dancing in front of the car?
We're talking about Meraktan does it. Everyone agrees in this Gemara is the way that Reverzan, you're teaching the Gemara, is it means words that you are expressing
while you dance.
While you're dancing.
Right.
The words are essential to this
right. To
this kiyum of mitzvah. I'm saying I don't know how that's done at weddings. I've not seen that.
What I do at weddings, if you're asking what I do and what I think is the right thing to do, is to dance in front of the kala
and
when they sing kala nova chasuda, make sure you sing it. Because I don't rely on the band. I'm not going to be so much on the band.
Okay.
Now, what is sheker? Okay, that's what we're trying to understand. So the Tofas Re'em quotes the Re'em. This is going to be the standard, the platform of Beis Hillel. That what is sheker? Sheker is destructive. Sheker is hezek. But, according to Beis Hillel, if you're not causing any hezek, and how much more so if you're being meshabeach someone, that's not sheker. So again, I wouldn't put the Tofas Reim in a new category. It's very similar to the previous category that Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about how to define sheker. Just that in the previous approach, we said that it's not sheker because it's emes in the eyes of the beholder because the chassid loves her and adores her. According to Tofas Reim, Beis Hillel went even further than that, and they said it's not sheker because there's no hezek. As opposed to the first approach, that of the Ritva, of Meshanim et Neshel, that really it is sheker, but we're going to allow it for the greater good of Shalom Bayis, and then you're going to get into the issue, is it Hutra or Dechuya, and should we do whatever we can in order to avoid a sheker gomer? Okay, Rav Moshe, so we'll stop here. If it's okay with you, I could collect this from you and hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to finish this up.
Yes.
There's so many different nuances here.
Sorry, I folded mine.
Later,
that's okay. Because the truth is that sometimes I think about whether or not, you know,
because I have to get back to my house.
You know, whether he pays a ksuba, mono, or messiah, you may not remember after, but this you'll remember because this is no get a lot. So I really feel like we should do a good job.
I'm asking how to be Mekayim, the mitzvah. I'm.